Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 26th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Janelle Hodges. Janelle and her husband Chris have two little girls, Lindsay and Caitlin. I can't wait for her to tell you more about them at the end of the podcast, where we talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Janelle, for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today. Today I'm reading Romans 1, 18 through 32 in the NIV version. The wrath of God against sinful humanity. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged their glory for the immortal gods for images made to look like mortal humans and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurities for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Thank you so much, Janelle, for joining the podcast and for reading that difficult passage for us today. Where did you grow up and how did you make your way to Birmingham?
I actually grew up a Navy brat. My dad served as a pilot in the U.S. Navy. I grew up moving every 12 to 18 months and had the opportunity to live in some amazing places and make friends that I still know today. I grew up in a Christian home, and finding a church family was always the top of our priority in our family when we got to a new duty station. I learned from a very young age the importance of a church family. Marrying my husband actually brought me to Birmingham, and my family keeps me here today.
Tell me how you met your husband.
I met Chris, my husband, through some friends. Honestly, my car broke down as I was passing through Birmingham, and I was stuck here for the night. So I called some friends to see if I could crash on their couch. And to make a very long story short, they called their last single male friend to come over and meet their very last single female friend. We were both older at the time. I was working towards finishing my PhD, and Chris was already working for Brassfield and Gorey, and, well, we hit it off. We both knew what we were looking for in a spouse at that point, and so we really only dated for 6 months before he asked me to marry him. 6 months later, we were married, and the rest, they say, is history.
I know you have two girls, Lindsay and Caitlin. What are their ages, and what are they into? What do they like to do?
Lindsay is going into fifth grade and Caitlin is going into third. They are as different as night and day, but they're wonderful. They both play competitive soccer. Lindsay loves sharks and robotics, and Caitlin loves to dance.
Do they get any of their interests from you, or what do you enjoy doing?
when people ask me this question, I have to giggle because my friends tease me about this question all the time. I'm a hobbyist. I'm a lifelong learner at heart. So I'm always trying something new. I have to stay busy. So there's always something I have to try and dig into.
So what are you into right now?
So some of my more unique hobbies that I love, I am a scrap quilter. Like old-fashioned scrapbook or scrap quilting, making blankets and tablecloths and pillowcases. I make jellies and jams, and I can vegetables and homemade spaghetti sauce. I work in my garden. I'm a national park enthusiast. I love to travel. I'm a travel bug. I'm a bookworm. I'm a proud member of the Mountain Brook Church Book Club, and I recently became a beekeeper, so I have my first beehive.
Wow. My next question was going to be, are you an enthusiast of anything? I think you're an enthusiast of a lot of things.
Absolutely. You can never try anything just once. You've got to try it at least twice and see if you like it.
Janelle, we've been friends for a while, but I do not know your story of how you guys got connected with Mountain Brook Baptist. Will you tell us?
Well, honestly, we moved to the area and I was really interested in finding a church where my kids could grow up with like-minded Christians that would be in their schools with them. And so we were church shopping, we were looking around, and a sweet little girl on Lindsay's soccer team invited her to go to church with her. And we tried the church out and we never left. And once we came, then we got connected with Miss Sharon, and Lindsay stayed friends with her little soccer mate, and the rest, we just kept coming.
I want to know more about how you connect with the Lord on a daily basis.
Prayer, lots and lots of prayer. Also through song, whether they're old hymns, new praise and worship. For me, through both of those, whether it's prayer or song, I love to pray scripture. I love to sing scripture. When you pray scripture and you pray the Lord's words back, there's something really powerful in that to me. So I do a lot of scripture praying.
Is there a song that comes to mind that you might commend to us?
Well, my favorite song is It Is Well. And then my favorite verse is actually Psalms 118:24, which is, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I love this because not only is that little verse or that little, you know, blessing you say over your food when your kids are little, but if you really think about it, and think of it on that broader sense as an adult, every day, whether it's a bright sunny day or an easy day that you're having fun, or those really hard days, that day was made by God. He had a plan for that day. That day was ordained, and we need to rejoice, and we need to be glad that we are in that day and we are in that place and in that space for His purpose and for His kingdom. And when you think about it that way, that verse becomes a lot more powerful. So when you pray Psalms 118:24, that you make a commandment, Lord, you've made this day. Let me rejoice and be glad in it because you've made it. It changes the way that you think about it.
On Tuesdays, we talk about thankfulness for the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. But we also talk about thankfulness for characteristics of God. Is there a characteristic of God that you cling to?
Well, I kind of have two characteristics that I cling to. So I cling to God's grace and mercy. For as long as I can remember, I have these two qualities of God and their definitions noted in the front of my Bible. I have always been in awe at what an amazing, loving God we serve, that He can give these two gifts to us, grace and mercy. These qualities have profoundly shaped every area of my life, from my journey as a child of God, to my role as a parent, to my children, and even my relationship with others.
His grace and mercy are such wonderful characteristics. This ties in with the journey of faith. We would like to hear about your journey of faith. Would you share that with us?
I've thought long and hard about how to share the different moments of how God has shown up for my family. So I decided to give you a snapshot of my journey. In this particular snapshot, not only did God show up, but He showed out. You know what I mean. When someone shows out, they do something extraordinary. I was raised in the church, as was my husband, Chris. God has always been a part of my life, but there are times when He felt more like an acquaintance or even a colleague. Today, I can honestly say He is my best friend, the lover of my soul, and my greatest source of strength. However, that transition did not happen overnight. It was not a constant upward trend or a quick closing of the gap. There is no shortcut, no easy button. It is a journey. 10 years ago, Chris and I welcomed our first daughter, Lindsay. She was a bundle of energy and sunshine, a firecracker from day one, and still is for those of you who know her. She never stopped moving. However, she wasn't a happy child. She struggled with eating and spent the first 6 months of her life fighting to eat, screaming in discomfort. Our pediatrician even had us use the back door to avoid upsetting other families in the waiting room. We prayed for strength. God showed out. After seeing countless specialists, we discovered that Lindsay had a rare condition requiring a specialized formula. Finally, she started eating and gaining weight, but she never really found joy in eating or found comfort in it. This is a battle she would fight for the rest of her young life. Amazingly smart, Lindsay loved taking things apart and figuring out how they worked. Constantly into everything, like a typical two-year-old, we thought we were through the worst of parenthood. Silly us. We decided to have another baby, our second daughter, Caitlin. Caitlin was different. She never cried and was content to sit in her crib alone after waking up from a nap. She showed no interest in eating, being held, or interacting. I knew something was wrong, but doctors and other moms told me not to worry. I was told I should be thankful I had such a content baby, but I worried. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for strength and wisdom. I'll never forget the night she had her first seizure while I was holding her. It lasted only a few seconds, and before I realized what was happening, it was over. The doctors asked if I had videotaped it. Of course I hadn't. I had been scared and holding my baby. They dismissed it and were convinced I was mistaken. Caitlin continued to grow, but stayed in her own little world, not crying, not walking, not talking, not responding to her name. She had a narrow diet, mainly milk, and showed no interest in exploring food like most toddlers. Finally, daycare security cameras captured a seizure, leading to a referral to a neurologist. About the same time, Caitlin began what I thought was self-harming behavior. You have to remember, Caitlin still didn't show any affection to us. She didn't talk to us or love us or give us kisses or hold us. She just existed in her own space and time. I woke one night to find her covered in blood from where she had scratched her back raw. She didn't cry. She just stared. I cried and I took pictures and I sent them to everyone I could think of with letters after their names. And I prayed that God would help the right people answer my cries for help. We heard from the right people. And after some digging, I learned Caitlin had failed her autism early identification screening 4 times in our pediatrician's office. The pediatrician just thought she would grow out of it. I was in shock. I prayed and I cried and I prayed some more. Then God and I got to work and I started researching and learning everything I could. And God showed out. What Caitlin was doing wasn't self-harm, but a form of stemming. It needed to be changed, but it needed to be changed the correct way. I continued praying and researching and pushing professionals to help my little girl. God didn't leave me. I found a research study in Virginia focusing on girls with autism. I reached out and Caitlin qualified. We spent Easter in Virginia for her to participate in the study. The study confirmed Caitlin had multiple battles, seizures, and autism. I prayed to God for help. I had no idea where to begin. God did, though. One way God showed out was having our paths cross with the right people and the right resources. We met a nutritionist and a dietitian through the neurologist. These professionals felt the keto diet would help us with seizure control. We did not go into this diet change lightly. We prayed about it. It was a lot to ask of a little girl and a lot to ask of our family. But then, what if the food we were feeding her was poisoning her? Put it like that, and the choice seemed simple. We cleaned out our pantries. The entire family went on keto under the watchful eye of many doctors. After changing our family's diet completely, not only did we slow some of Caitlin's seizure progress, but to everyone's surprise, she started speaking. Not just a single word, but she came out with full sentences. Caitlin was still facing more challenges and having more problems with communication. She was running away or eloping, and we were having to make sure she was locked in, She wouldn't let us touch her. She would scream when you gave her a bath or a shower. Most clothes textures bothered her. She wouldn't touch the grass or any other change in floor texture, and she still spent most of her time in her own world. If you didn't follow what she had determined as her routine, she lost her mind. I prayed to God for strength. I prayed for his guidance and help. Then Caitlin was accepted into the most amazing school, Mitchell's Place, right here in Birmingham. Our own hidden jewel that other families travel from around the country to attend. They have an extremely long waiting list, but God opened doors and Caitlin got in. This amazing place taught Caitlin to communicate her thoughts and feelings and to advocate for herself. They also taught us to advocate for her and to communicate with her. Caitlin stayed at Mitchell's Place for the next 3 years until she was ready for kindergarten. The commitment to Mitchell's Place demanded enormous financial, emotional, and time investments from our family, but the results were worth it. Even Lindsay went to Mitchell's Place for a year of preschool. They helped her learn to be a better big sister to Caitlin and a better friend to other neurodiverse people like Caitlin. When Caitlin graduated from Mitchell's Place, God hadn't just shown up. He had shown out. Caitlin started kindergarten at Brookwood Forest in a mainstream classroom right on time with her neurotypical peers. Time did not stand still, and God continued to provide strength to me and my family and to Caitlin as she faced one challenge after another as she continued to grow. Sometimes I looked at my tiny human and I didn't know how she could face another mountain, but she did. With each dance recital that she conquered a costume, or each new friend that she made, or each new food that she tried, or each new milestone that she crossed. Throughout this journey, God did not leave me to my own devices. I look back and I see the hard times when God didn't just walk beside me, but he carried me. I remember seizures in airport bathrooms. I remember letting the fire department know who we were because if they would approach our house or our car, Caitlin would run. I remember the trauma of simple things like dentist visits and haircuts and the drama of missing or finally making other milestones that parents often take for granted. God surrounded me not only with his love and his strength, but also with the right people, a village to lean on and find strength in when I thought I couldn't go on and when it looked like all hope was lost. I look back and I see my Bible study ladies holding me as I cried when no one believed me and who rallied around to keep Caitlin safe during severe meltdowns. I look back and I see friends who de-seeded strawberries because Caitlin couldn't handle the texture. And I see friends who helped patiently as Caitlin learned social cues and conversational markers. I look back and I see my parents changing their entire house to accommodate her diet so she had a safe place to go and snack and be a kid. God covered me in strength through these amazing people. Today, God continues to show out through Caitlin. She is mainstream, on grade level in third grade, loves math and science, playing competitive soccer, and is a beautiful dancer. She talks up a storm and is brutally honest and doesn't always get social niceties, but she is talking. From not walking on grass due to the texture to becoming a phenomenal soccer player, she has come so far. Over the last 10 years, I have learned so many things, and not just from this journey itself, but from my children. The way they view the world and see people is not only unique, but pure. I'll never forget the day I overheard my girls chatting. They were young. It probably wasn't long after Caitlin had started talking. Caitlin asked Lindsay what God's love felt like. Lindsay thought for a moment and then told her, it felt like being wrapped in her weighted blanket, all warm and safe. That was enough for Caitlin. She never looked back. Within 6 months, the preschool called to tell me that Caitlin was sharing the word of God with her classmates and telling everyone that they needed to have their sins washed away. Caitlin does not believe that God lives in her heart, because to her, the heart is simply a muscle full of tissues and blood. Instead, she sees God as her best friend, her constant companion, who is always with her. If you meet Caitlin on the street today, she would love to tell you about her Jesus and about her superpower, her autism. She would tell you that Jesus made her so that she thinks about the world differently, and that is her superpower. Every day, Caitlin faces more challenges, most of which are unseen to us. She faces them with a strength that can only come from one source, her Heavenly Father. I persistently pray and thank God for his continued strength and for always showing out for my family. Lindsay faces her own challenges, but again, that's another snapshot for another day. The challenges my girls face now are preparing them to serve His kingdom in ways we can't even imagine. But I know God is good and merciful. His grace abounds. Life isn't easy. There is no easy button. My girls' path will never be the easy one. But I also know God provides strength when we are weary, the right people to support us, and continues to show up and show out in ways beyond our imagination.
Janelle, thank you for opening up your heart and your life to us and helping us to see the ways that God has worked in your midst. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we've gotten to spend in your word and together in fellowship with others, believers. Lord, please bless all those who are hearing this podcast. Lord, I pray that you show up and you show out in all of their lives. I pray that they right now take a moment to give to you whatever they're carrying around, dear Heavenly Father, whatever burden they're holding onto. I pray that they lay it at your feet, God, because the only way you can pick it up is if they put it down, dear Heavenly Father. I pray that each one of us stops and pauses and worships you today, because this day right here, dear Heavenly Father, is the day that you made, and we're commanded to rejoice. And I just lift you up and I praise you for each and every blessing and each trial and tribulation, because if you've put it in front of us, you're going to see us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.